joining us. Good morning. Author, comedian, the book is Rabbit, came out just a little less than a year ago. August, I believe.
August this year. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a new year. I forgot.
Miss Pat, how are you doing, my love?
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm doing just fine. I'm up early.
I love your glasses.
Thank you. Clearance rack. Nordstrom rack.
Is that jewel? What are those on the side? Jewels?
It's rhinestones. They're Fendi.
Okay.
So they're very expensive, so I hold on to them.
Yeah. I love Nordstrom rack.
I would love to try those on, but there I don't is. Want to impose.
Well, if you want to try on these women's shades, knock yourself out, baby.
Really? Can I?
Yeah, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Spiegel loves wearing big glasses.
Loves wearing women's glasses. Yeah,
anytime he sees like a big pair of glasses, big flashy pair of glasses. He loves them.
Miss
Pat, I bet you they look great. Watch this. Look!
Look at those.
Whoa!
Whoa! You look like drag queen Harry Carey.
Hey, Norm, can I play with your nipples?
Oh!
Look at this.
No, give me my glasses.
You're getting a little too comfortable with it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not that blind.
Oh, that is funny. Hell yeah. Miss
Next
Pat.
Thing you know, he's going to want to try on my wig. Jesus Christ. What comes next? My bra?
Well, that's where I come in. If you wouldn't mind.
I don't know if you can handle this.
I'd love to get a fit. I'm going to head back to 2010, thecomicscomic.com. You and I shared an article. I know you don't remember, but I wouldn't expect you to. It was a review of the 2010 JFL New Faces, of which you and I were on the same show. Montreal Comedy Festival. Alongside Jesse Case, James Adomian, Fortune Feimster, Carl Hess, Joe Mandy, Mike Lawrence, the winner of the roast battle, Miss Pat, now celebrated author, comedian, and me.
I don't remember you. I'm sorry.
No one does. No, trust me.
You a comic?
Yeah, the 13 people on that lineup, 12 have gone on to pretty rousing success. And
well, at least you got a job. You at the radio station.
Oh, there you are. Okay, I have confirmed this because he's been bringing this up for years.
I broke my own rule to not bring this up anymore. But when I saw someone else was on this gig with me, I was like, I got to bring this up.
It says here they are, your new faces for the class of 2010, Just for Laughs Comedy in Montreal. Andy Haynes, did you say that?
Andy Haynes,
Colin Jost, Mike Lawrence, and look, there he is.
Hey, how you
that,
doing?
That, I'll tell you
terrible
what, that
headshot.
That headshot.
Terrible headshot.
No faith.
I look like
Miss
a
Pat,
stalker.
Look
you
headshot.
Look like Count Dracula in the headshot.
I got no beard.
Headshot
I look like I'm in a militia. How terrible is that?
I'm so sorry, dude. I do not remember you.
Look at hers. Hers is gorgeous. Oh, look how terrible that headshot is.
You let look me, spooky.
Like,
you
what
look
was like that,
you,
vampire.
You look like you put white women in the trunk.
Like I've got a freezer with a secret.
From that movie?
Yeah, the Anne Rice.
What the hell's the name of that movie?
Oh, Interview with a Vampire? Yeah, Interview with a Trailer Park Vampire. Because they did reviews of everybody, and you waited for the review to come out the next day, and you got a glowing review. Miss Pat, the comics comic, Miss Pat spoke for all proud black women by announcing she was in the first stage of her diet plan, and trust me, she said it's all mental, unless you want a visual, in which case she makes a strong case for wearing animal prints. And you talked about your children, and the crowd reveled in your approach. Big things to come for Miss Pat.
Never read that review.
And then Justin Schlegel, let's scroll down a little bit.
Are there reviews? Where are you finding this?
Oh, yeah, on the internet. Well, that's the one with email. And where is mine? Justin Schlegel expects to see gentlemen in gentlemen's clubs. He's got some fun energy.
Is that your review?
And that's it. The end. Yeah. Everyone got like a paragraph, and I saw like this sliver. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to definitely end up working out back of a food line cleaning up a recycling dumpster at some point.
Wow.
This is funny, the people you run back into. I want to get into you at McGoobies this weekend when we return from sports. I want to talk about the book, because I haven't read Rabbit, but I've read excerpts from it, and it sounds fantastic.
But thank you.
Yeah,
thank
the
you
USA really Today well. Review of it was glowing.
Where's your book?
Right alongside my late night special, which also doesn't exist.
Miss Pat Rabbit?
Yeah, it's called Rabbit, an autobiography about your life. And it's hard. Reading some of these excerpts are brutal. We'll get into a couple in a second I want to ask you about, but it's almost like, how do you review a book like this where you can review, is a Stephen King novel good? It's fiction. Can you review a Michael Crichton novel? Whatever. Can you review a video game, a movie? But how do you review
somebody's life?
Like, how do I review, like, I really like the one part where she sold crack at the age of 12, but I didn't believe the whole laundromat thing. Like, this actually happened. It's unbelievable. Can you kind of give us a Cliff Notes version of what you went through, dealt with, and has brought you to us now?
What is Rabbit, first of all? Let's start
Rabbit
there.
Is my drug dealer name. It was my childhood name.
Well, that's a good start.
Mm-hmm. And you couldn't use your government name as a drug dealer. So, you know, we were Squirrel, Rabbit, Peanut, whatever name.
Why'd you get
pick.
Rabbit?
Because that was my childhood name, because I liked carrots when I was coming up, and my daddy...
I wouldn't believe you had a 40-inch vertical.
That's
no, he was like, if you eat carrots, your eyes will turn blue. So I believed him. And so they named me Rabbit. And when I became a drug dealer, that was my drug dealer name. And so I just stuck with it. And the books tells you about how I was a teenage mom, two kids by a married man, got shot a couple of times, did a couple of drive-bys, made a lot of mistakes, sold drugs... Oh, went to prison.
The way you're referring to some of this stuff is the way that I referred to some of my chores that I did yesterday. Like, did some laundry, finally got some dishes done, moved that one coffee table into the other room that I've been meaning to. In the same tone, you're a couple drive-bys, got shot a few times, had a kid.
I tell people I lost my nipple in a drive-by.
What? Oh, damn.
And you have the floor.
You got shot in the nipple?
Yeah, I got shot up under the arm, and it blew my right areola and blew the nip off. And I talk about it on stage. You don't need two nipples. They're overrated. Nobody used both of them.
I don't.
So, I mean, I do it all in a fun way. You know, everything that I could be dwelling on, I find it funny.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I just talk about how my kid's father shot me, everything that I went through, did time in prison.
Did it take you time to get to the point where you look back and just look at it like, you know, oh, well, I went through some stuff? Did you look back with pain and humiliation
shocked.
And beat yourself up for a number of years? Or?
Well, I was ashamed. After I got my life together, and then I realized I was a convicted felon and couldn't get a job, that's the thing that hurted me the most.
Yeah.
I'm like, now I got my life together, and society say, oh, we want you back, but then you keep throwing back up in my face what I did.
Yeah.
I couldn't get a job at a gas station. I'm like, I'm not good enough to sell nuts and hot dogs.
I can't pump gas and sell Slim Jims.
Yeah.
Come on.
The good part about it is when you're a convicted felon, and you're a comedian, nobody check your criminal background.
Right.
Like Keith.
So that was a big thing for me starting over.
He's
you know,
screwed
do
up.
I give up? Do I go back to the crime? But I had a lovely husband say, no, we're going to keep pushing forward.
Wow.
And it was so many rejections along the way. And I just had to cry through them and get through them. And here I am today.
Do you ever have temptations to return to some of the naughtiness?
No. I'm 45 now.
Was that a necessity, right, back then? Like, I mean, you weren't dealing drugs because you wanted to, because you had to.
Well, I was dealing drugs because I was 15 with two kids. I dropped out of school in the eighth grade. It wasn't much in the black community in the late 80s, the early 90s you could do. That was what was going on in the black community. It was the crack epidemic. Everybody was making money. It was either two choices. I'd be a prostitute or I'd do this. And they was working too hard on that side, making less money. So I was like, I'm going to be the drug dealer.
And let's not gloss over. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Well, you sold crack, you said, right?
I sold crack, for about 6 years.
How did you sell it? What was the... They paid you and they came to you?
No. I bought my own. I actually started with... I bought my first drugs with my welfare check, and it was like $250, and I doubled it, and I just kept doubling, and I eventually had a partner in my old neighborhood, and we was making a crap ton of money. I mean, like 10 grand a day. Here I am, I'm 16 with about 8 cars, can't drive. I had a learner's license, so I had to have an adult in the car with me, so I would pay a crackhead morning shift and evening shift who had a valid license to ride me, so if I got pulled over by the police, they can't say, you're driving on a learner's license. So I had 6 cars, and all I had was a learner's license.
Damn. What happens to that money when you get, eventually you get locked up, you get incarcerated?
You spend it.
So you never, like squirreled away a safety stash somewhere?
Nobody tells you that. I mean, you do what everybody else is doing. At the time, Jordan's had just came out. You partying, you living. I have $1,200 apartment, and I'm 16 or 17. I'm buying cars. I'm just living a life. Everything I make, I'm spending it as quick. Clothes, pocketbook. books, you know.
So now you're doing stand-up nationwide, author, podcast. You have pilots that have been brought to fruition. Like, you're on the complete other side of it. But what about that gray area? Where was it that you got from the old Miss Pat? You went from Rabbit to nationally, internationally touring comedian
when
Miss
Pat. You finally crawled up out of that hole and you were like, okay. And you dusted and you finally maybe were like, I can dust myself off now and I'm up out of it.
I think it was when I met my husband. I met a very straight guy, just got out of the military, and he dealt with a lot of crap. He was like, look, you know, I had this mentality, look, I'm going to steal the rest of my life. I'm going to do this the rest of my life. And he was like, Pat, all you got to do is get a job. I'm like, nobody work. Who wants a job? And I get a job at McDonald's making $7, which is humiliating when I'm used to making all this money. And he constantly counseled me, stay there. You know, you can find something else. Eventually, I ended up working at General Motors with him. And then I started vending at the Dome. But it was really hard. I'm surprised he put up with me all of those years.
Hey,
because he
it.
Was not a convicted felon. He was straight out of the military.
You're worth it. You're worth
Thank
it.
Thank you. You know what? He said that all the time. Because I tell him, I said, if this pilot get picked up, you can retire.
Yeah, you can kick
He's
back.
Just waiting. He's
Trust
just waiting.
Me, I'm an investment. You're on the ground floor of something good, baby. Hang on, because 10 years from now, there's going to be dividends.
Let me ask you this. You get locked away, and you finally get there, and you're going through it all, and then that door closes for the first time. What was that like?
I was. You know what? It was hurting because I tell you the thing I'm hurting me the most is because when the year I got locked up and I got a year for selling drugs, my daughter went to kindergarten and she went
you
without me.
Yeah.
And you know, when I would call and talk to her from jail, she didn't really have nothing to say to me.
Damn.
And then, you know, because I sold drugs in front of her school and she would always tell me, can you stop selling drugs in front of my school?
This was
a kindergartner telling you to stop.
Yes.
Wow.
But this was before the no school drugs on sign. I was there way before them signs.
Oh, so you're allowed to. Oh, okay, never mind.
I was grandfathered
in. For a second,
in.
I thought it was sketchy.
Okay. I was grandfathered in, so that didn't count.
I'm in the cafeteria.
But she would tell me, because I think the principal hated me so much, he would put her classroom on the side I sold drugs. And she was like, I get tired of looking out of my window seeing you selling drugs.
Oh.
And I told her, guess how ignorant I was. I said, look, I was here first. This is my job. We're going to have to find you another school.
Yes.
I'm not moving.
This is my territory before you got in here. Again, Miss Pat joining us. She's going to be at Magoobies this weekend.
I'm going to pick up a copy of this book.
Dude, Rabbit, I can't wait. I'm reading excerpts. I'm going to buy it again. Go to Amazon and pick one of these up. It's Comedian MS Pat on Instagram. And is this the gentleman right there?
That is my husband of 20 something years.
Look at that gentleman. He's looking salt and pepper beard.
Yeah.
Big bright smile.
Everybody think we brothers and sisters.
Really?
Everybody like, oh, this your sister? I'm like, no, I'm his wife. I got two kids with him.
No, I've done sex to him and will again.
And he's a great man. You know, I had two kids by the married man when I met him. He stepped right in and raised my first two set of kids, and then I had two more, and then I got a couple crack babies after that. So we on our third set of crack babies we're raising right now.
Yeah, collecting
them. Oh, they good crack babies.
Oh, they're sweet ones.
Yeah, they're sweet crack babies. They come with technologies now. They got superpowers. They do.
Yeah, like that was one of the things I wanted to talk about from the book. There's a portion in there where you don't just have two children. You had a sister that's going through problems, and she's essentially like, hey, would you mind taking these other four real quick from me? So you went from no kids to two kids, four more, six total, if not more beyond that, in a span of very little time.
You know, it was right after we got together and we got married and my sister was
stuck around.
That's what everybody say. He was 21 and I was 18 or 19 and we had six kids and his family could not understand. Why are you standing with this lady with six kids? This is a welfare queen. And he stood and he was the father to all of those kids and never complained. Never complained.
I have
not one time.
I have two stepchildren and I complain every day.
We just got a puppy and we're both ready.
Scott
to just
might
run
get it.
The border.
And he and I might get a one-bedroom apartment because of a Weimer on her.
I'm taking this audio home and playing this for my wife.
Shut up! We got a puppy! Shit, you Miss Pat!
Four crack babies!
18 crack babies! Suck it up!
She
so what? The dog pissed on the carpet!
A nipple!
She's got one nipple!
One nipple!
We got a puppy! Relax!
That one nipple does the work of two!
Thank God I didn't have to breastfeed.
Boom!
Although if Miss Pat brought a puppy home, he may just bounce.
That's it. No.
I can't deal with all this. It's too crazy.
I can deal with them six kids. A puppy. I'm out.